Jesus, I will. Jesus, I will. When it doesn't go my way, I know that it is not the end. I'm trusting. Dreamt of yet. declare with my heart, my only hope is in you.
Your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord, that you just have your way in our hearts tonight, Lord God. Yes, Lord. If you're tired, I want you just to sit down where you're at. Just sit down in your chair. Just kneel if you'd want to. Just to rest. Just to rest for just a moment. So we were talking about, we're worshiping about trusting the Lord. And I know we've been trusting the Lord for years and just trusting the Lord. But tonight, he's just wanted me to talk to you a little bit about trusting him in the area of your relationships. We trust him in our finances. We trust him in our bodies. We're trusting him for our health. But specifically, he wants me to have you just think about all your relationships right now and how involved he is in those relationships. And he just wants you to think about that for just a second. Thank you, Lord. Because he's saying to me to tell you that if you're depending on your emotions to run your relationships, they're not going to be as successful as they could be. Prayer is what's going to get you through this. Prayer and trusting in me, knowing that I am working on your behalf. I am moving behind the scenes, doing things that only I can do, moving and changing hearts in the way that only I could do. And when you look to me, this is the Lord speaking to you, when you look to me instead of to yourself to fix things, things get fixed. So do trust me. Trust me in your relationships. Go to me for advice, counseling, wisdom, knowledge. Bring it to me, he says tonight. Bring it to me. Lay it before me. Speak it out. Petition it out. Lay it before me. And expect me to move. Expect me to move. Expect for there to be change, lasting change. Lasting change. I'm just talking to you tonight if you're tired of things being the same way. If you're tired of the same old thing. God is saying, if you want change in your life, if you want change in any area, bring it to him. Lay it before him. Speak it out, petition it out, and then expect for you to hear his voice clearly, for you to know. Now, he may tell you to do some things you don't like. He may tell you to do some things you don't like. He may ask you, because he's not going to make you, but he may ask you to say some things that you may not like to say. Sometimes it doesn't feel good to grow, but it's necessary for change to happen. So go to him, lay it out before him, speak it out, receive instruction, receive guidance. James 1:5. And then expect for him to move on your behalf. He will change hearts. He's the only one that can change hearts. Let's just pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place tonight, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you care about every little detail of our lives. You care about our finances and our careers, Lord God, and our families, Lord God. Most importantly, you care about the most beautiful treasure you've given us, Lord God, and that's each other, our relationships, Lord God. And so, Father, we lift them up to you right now. And we just speak out peace in the name of Jesus. We speak out prosperity, blessing, abundance in the name of Jesus. Thank you for healing where there's broken hearts, Lord God. Healing where words have been spoken that caused lasting damage, that there would no longer be lasting damage because of who you are and how you can heal. So, Father God, we receive restoration. We receive complete healing in our hearts, in our bodies, Lord God, from head to toe, by the blood of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord God, that we are expecting. We do have a spirit of expectancy. Psalm 62:5, that we are expecting your very best for our lives. Not because we're greedy, Lord God, but because we value what you have done. We value what you have done. So, Lord, we receive it all tonight. Help us to walk in all that you have for us in our lives so that we can be a blessing to others, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for it. If there's anyone here tonight that would like some agreement in prayer, we're going to open up the altar. Please come on down while we continue to worship. And just rest in your bodies and worship the Lord. Amen. If you don't have any prayer needs, just stay in an attitude of faith. Amen. With the rest of us that might.
Hallelujah. Okay. All right. When I was given this assignment, I figured, Lord, what would you have me say? He said, well, we've been preaching on faith, so let's stay on faith. So tonight's message is, if I can get the microphone right here, so it doesn't sound like I'm having heavy breathing. Tonight's message is walk by faith. Walk by faith. Subtitled, live like you know the word is true. Live like you know the word is true. For us married people, or people who are engaged or in a serious, long-term, more than last week relationship, I know that Miss Pamela loves me, so that I live my life based on the fact that she loves me. I'm not out looking for anything else because I know that she loves me. I'm not opening any cans of worms because I know that she loves me. I live that way. Everybody who knows me knows that Miss Pamela is my wife. My coworkers fear her. They fear her. If I do anything wrong, and I'm not talking about cheating or flirting or anything. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if I don't eat lunch, they will threaten me with, when I see Miss Pamela, I will tell her. That's how much I have one of my coworkers, I call her my daughter. She knows Miss Pam loves her like a daughter. She is frightfully afraid of her. My coworkers want to get me a dog. They think I should have a dog. I think I should have a dog. My kids think we should have a dog. Guess why we don't have a dog? So my boss came up with the theory because she knows that Miss Pamela loves Laura, is her name. She said, Donnie, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go get you a puppy, and we're going to bring it to your house, and we're going to tell Miss Pamela Laura got it for you. Now, to me, that was a plan, because Pamela would never say no to Miss Laura. And that's true. She would not. Miss Laura just put a whole monkey wrench in the thing saying, don't put my name in it, because I ain't want Miss Pamela mad at me. So everybody's operating off of they know. So if we can do that much for a 4 foot 11 and a half woman right there, surely. We in the house of the Lord. You ain't never seen 5 feet, lovely. I'm sorry. But if we can do that much for that beautiful woman right there, surely we can live like we know the Lord. Surely we can. So, our foundational scripture for tonight will be Romans 10 and 17. I pulled this out of the NIV version. You're going to hear a lot of different versions. The one you will not hear is King James. I apologize for that if you're a good King James person. I'm not a thee, thou, thus, them. I don't do well with that, so I want to make jokes about that, and that's probably not something I should be doing here. So we're going to stay away from KJV. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Father God, we just thank you. Use me whatever way you would have to bring your people a word from the throne. We thank you in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Praying rocks. Yes, it does. All right. So I noticed that in this series that we've been doing for however long we've been doing it, we've never really had a Mama Rita definition of the word faith. Why do I keep breathing into this thing? Okay. So, while I was standing back there waiting to come up, I went to Mr. Webster. You want to know what the definition of faith is? Good, I'm glad you do, because I was going to tell you anyway. Complete trust or confidence in something or someone. Complete trust or complete confidence. Not a little bit, not kind of, sort of, not maybe, maybe not, complete trust. So when you say you have faith in the Lord, you're saying, I have complete trust in you, God. Now, when you gave your life to Christ, if you have done that, if you haven't done that, I promise you we will give you an opportunity before the end of this service to do that. But if you've given your life to Christ, you said something to the effect that you accepted him as Lord and Savior. We all love the Savior part. Get out of hell free card. We love that part. The Lord part, not so much, because then we give up the right to make choices that don't line up with him, because he orders our steps. Another way to say that it is we trust that when he tells us to do something, it's the right thing to do. We trust it completely, so that when God says, stay away from here, we stay away. When God says, leave this alone, we leave it alone. Now, I could give you a big, 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 you know, thing, but we love food here. I love food. Particularly, I'm a German chocolate cake fanatic. There's two desserts I love, German chocolate cake and sweet potato pie. I can never say no to either one of those. My belly, on the other hand, would like for me to say no more often. I know that my father says that my body's a temple, and I should treat it as such. So Okay, I don't understand why every time I get up here, I got to tell my business. But anyway, so based on my definition I gave you about completely trusting, I need to completely trust the Lord that it is better for my health to say no sometimes to Mr. German chocolate cake and Mr. sweet potato pie and Miss Geneva. I'm not even looking at you about Mountain Dew or Coke. Don't give me that look. Well, let me see. That wasn't even in my notes. Let me get back to my notes before I'm getting in trouble here. Okay, the message isn't heard through just any word. You know, you can't go to Showtime at the Apollo or you can't go to the latest comedy store and get the message. You can't look in Time. You can't look in People. You can't look in the National Enquirer. You can't go to Ray Ray and Pookie and Jesus if they don't know the Lord and get the message. The only place you can get the message is in the book called the Bible, which is the Word of God. The only thing that matters when it comes to faith is, what does the Lord say? What is God saying about a given situation? If you're ever wondering, when you don't know what to do, seek the Word. Now, that doesn't mean you can't seek people. There are people, there are good, God-fearing people that you know, you can see by the way they walk, how by the way they talk, how they live their life, that if you had an issue, you could go to them and ask them to be in agreement with prayer with you. But first and foremost, you should be seeking the Word. That's the foundation of your faith. All right, so we've established that complete trust is what you need. So what next? Good, I'm so glad you asked. You guys are so good tonight. Let's go to 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. This particular one's in the Message translation. Verse 4 says, every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. Every God-following person can conquer the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is in our faith. And verse 5 says, the person who wins out over the world's ways is simply not difficult, not, you don't need a theological degree, you don't need to know chemistry, you don't need to know trigonometry. Just it's simply the one who believes Jesus is the Son of God. That's as simple as it gets. Again, there's nothing wrong with having a theological degree. There's nothing wrong with having learned knowledge. But don't let the learned knowledge take you away from the simple fact, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. Jesus came, died, and rose again. Those are our foundation. Everything else is built off of that. There is power in what we believe and who we believe in. Now, a lot of people believe in a Godhead. If you don't know what the Godhead is, according to the Bible, it is God the Father, God the Son. And if you're refined, God the Holy Spirit. I'm not refined, so it's God the Holy Ghost. But you get the gist, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Unfortunately, even good church folks have another Godhead that they serve, and they serve him well. What Godhead would that be, you might ask? Me, myself, and I. Three different versions of the same entity, me. There was a football player named Terrell Owens back in the day for you Cowboy Eagles 49er fans. See, Fred, we can agree on this because he played for both of our teams. One of his patented statements was, I loves me some me. Too many of us live like that. When the Word of God says, avoid this. But it feels so good. Stay away from that. But it don't really mean that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, the enemy said, did God really say stay away from the one tree? Now you think about that for a minute. The garden had an infinite number of trees with many fruit. The enemy says, God, did he really say stay away from this one? Now, common sense would say, if I can have 1,000 and leave one alone, I'm going with 1,000. But no. Human nature is, I don't want 1,000, I just want the one. Well, that's me, myself, and I. No, I don't want the thousands of promises that God has in his word. I want whatever's now. I want to go dancing. Yes. Notice my feet aren't moving because I can't dance, but I want to go dancing, yes. I want to hang out and I want to have fun. There's nothing wrong with having fun. But where are you going dancing? And who are you going with? And what are you doing while you're there? I just want to have a sip, just a little sip of this or a little sip of that. I just want to have a little or a little of that. Or I just want to hang out with my girlfriends or my guy friends. I'm just going to go to happy hour because I want to be happy. Now, is going to happy hour a sin in and of itself? No. Is it drawing you closer to God? Is it drawing you farther from him? Is your witness to the lost hindered or compromised by that feeling that feels so good? We have to think about that because remember, it's not just about me, myself, and I. You were not created. I'm sorry. Even though God created you so that you could be saved, it's just not about just you. He wants to use you to do other things, and it's hard to use you to do other things when the focus is on me. I can't get to where I need to be because I have to get my hair together. I gotta have my curls just right. My outfit has to fit just right. I've gotta eat just right. I've gotta have all these excuses not to do what I'm supposed to do. When trouble comes, the me, myself, and I crew, we lean on our own thinking to find a solution. We can always figure it out. And if we can't figure it out, we can always do something that feels good today and we'll worry about it tomorrow. But when we choose faith in God's word, and then we act, we actually do what it says. Victory is the result. Yeah, but you know, that takes time. That doesn't just happen overnight. My God, Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years. Dude, I don't want to wait 40 years. I want it yesterday. Man, Noah waited 100 years. I mean, 100 years to build an ark. Seriously? God couldn't have just snapped his fingers and there'd have been. Well, God could do anything, but there was a timing. There is a rhythm to the things of God, you music people. There's a rhythm, and if you move too fast, if we're doing a worship song and Milton's playing a praise song, it doesn't work. Conversely, if we're doing a praise song and Milton's playing a worship song behind them, it doesn't work. We have to learn to move to the rhythm of God. That's faith. God says it. I receive it. I do it. I get victory. Whether I get victory today, or whether I get victory tomorrow or next week or next month, I know I'm safe because I'm lining myself up with his word. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, I need to do a qualifier right here. This sermon is not about condemnation. I am looking down at you, but that's only because I'm higher up than you right now on the stage. But I'm not looking down at you like I'm better than you, because I make mistakes. I know it's hard to believe. I know that's shocking. My own wife can't even believe I'm saying this, because she's even shocked. What, you make mistakes? How could, I've never seen you make a mistake in 20 years. So let's qualify. What I'm doing here now is not about condemnation. What I'm trying to get you to understand, and what I believe the Lord would like you to understand today, is your life may be going okay, but it could be better walking in faith. The people around you, life could be better if you walk like God's word means something to you. Because sometimes the only Jesus people will see is us. So we want to make sure that when we're around God's people, which doesn't just mean Christians, God's people is anybody that's still breathing because he created them. We want to make sure that when they're around us, they're hearing godly things. They're not hearing gossip. They're not hearing the latest, coolest four-letter word. I have a coworker. She sits next to me. I was so hoping she was coming tonight so I could make fun of her while she was here. But anyway, we look for people's names that have cuss words in the middle of them so that we can say the name in place of the cuss word. Now, I'm far too dignified to say any of the names, but I'll give you an example. One person's name was Doodoo Aki. So you think of what the cuss word for doodoo is, Aki, that was their name. So for a whole week, anytime something happened, she would say his name in place of the cuss word. Now, if I started doing that, what do you think my witness would be to the people around me? Now, I'm going to admit, it would be funny. But it wouldn't be a good witness. Aren't you a pastor? Not today. I told Jesus to stay outside of work today. I'm gonna be one of you for the day. That's not how we walk in faith. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God, and we know that we want to please God. Hebrews 10:38 and 39 says, the righteous will live by faith. It's a requirement. Just like breathing, just like eating, live by faith. Okay, let's go to Romans 12 and 3. This is the good amplified version. You know it's the good amplified version because if you see it on the screen, and we've got these brackets behind words. Those are words that aren't in the original text, but they make it a little clearer. So, for by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of himself. So if you want to mean myself and I kick, he's saying don't do that. And his importance and his ability that he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has apportioned to each a degree of faith and a purpose designed for service. Now, we shortchange ourselves when we believe the lie that the enemy tells us that we don't have enough faith. Now, in that scripture, it says, and in another translation, it says that God has given each of us a measure of faith. Now, since you're going to pick on me later about my soda drinking, Miss Geneva has an incredible faith. sometimes incredibly strange. Some of her illustrations that she gives, you're going, what are you talking about? But by the time she gets through with the illustration, you're going, ooh, that's good. Well, just because it took me a couple of minutes to get where she was going doesn't mean she has more faith than me. Because we both have the same measure of faith. It could just be that in that particular area, she's using her faith more than I am. Emphasis on using. Are you using the faith that you've been given? When you hear the word preached, or when you read the word yourself, or when you're praying and God speaks to you, are you then using what you've been given? Or are you going, that's nice, but I got a club tonight, baby. Man, my feet almost moved. That's awesome. Matthew 12 and 34 says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart. So my question to you is, what is it that you're believing? And equally importantly, what is it that you're speaking? Are you speaking the word of God? Or are you speaking feelings? But he loves me. And her. And maybe him. But this banana split triple sundae cherry, but cherry orange, what else? It just tastes so good. But this car, man, it would be so cool if I had this big Chevy 250 truck. But baby, the payments are gonna be $1,500 and you only bring home $700 a week. God will provide. The words you speak are so powerful because they cause things to come to pass. You get this big Chevy 250 truck and your unemployment and your being out of a house will come to pass. They must have the force of faith behind them. You must believe in your heart. You have to believe what the Word of God says. And that takes some training and some conditioning, particularly when you first give your life to Christ. You've been so used to following me, myself, and I, it's hard to start following something else. It's hard to make that switch. When you're single and you can do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, however you want to do it, or not at all, and then you get married. And you can't do none of what you want to do when you want to do it. And you may even need permission to ask, can you do it? That's a change. That you have to compromise. I got to compromise with another human being? Well, God's not about compromise. This is not a tit-for-tat relationship. Because he took nothing and made everything. So I kind of think, just using common sense, let's take the spiritual out of this for a second. Just using common sense, if he took nothing and made everything, is it not possible that he knows best? That he has a plan that will absolutely positively work without failure if you just follow the plan. Now, I'm one of those people, well, not anymore. Being handicapped does have its privileges. I used to be one of those people that, you know, when you would go to the store, like IKEA, and you're going to get some furniture, and instead of a nice, beautiful piece of furniture, you get a box with a bunch of pieces, and more importantly, a bunch of screws. And you get some paper on the inside, and that paper is in 5 different languages, and you don't even understand the one you speak. And it's telling you, in order to put together this, let's go chair, you need to follow step A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I'm the guy that when I got through putting the chair together, there was always extra parts. Because I would follow step one and identify what the parts were, and I was done. Okay, this looks like this goes here. This looks like it goes here. I don't understand why one leg's going forward and the other leg's going backwards, but it's together. Well, that's kind of how some of us live our lives. We can't follow the word A, B, C, D, E. We can't go Genesis to Revelation. We have to intersperse our own thoughts and our own feelings and our own way of thinking. This makes sense to me. Baby, this don't make sense to anybody but you, but you still rocking it. And then when God is here and you're in San Marcos, you're crying because you don't know why God left you. And God is saying, I've been here all the while. I've been here the whole time. Just follow me. Now, I'm going to come to San Marcos to get you, and I'm going to bring you back to Round Rock. Just follow me. And here's my instruction book right here. And if you ever have any questions, you don't have to call an 800 number. All you got to do is ask me. See, if faith-filled words are put in your mouth, faith-filled words will come out of your mouth. If 4-letter words are put in your mouth, 4-letter words will come out of your mouth. Words will work for you or they work against you. If you need something done, if Mr. Fred, if I need you to do something for me and I cuss you out before you, I ask you to do something for me, the chances of you doing something for me are slim and none. You would be very nice to me. You would smile at me and say, there ain't no way I'm going to do that. You just cussed me out, dude. We mistreat God by rejecting his faith, but then we expect God to do things for us. And God's, he's not an enemy, but he's like, no, I need you to get in line with me. I need you to follow the plan. The plan works. I promise you it works. And I'll help you every step of the way. It's up to each one of us to feed ourselves with the word, increase our knowledge of the word, and then release our faith in any given situation. All right, 2 more scriptures and we're out of here. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 11. Starting with verse 22, again, this is the Amplified version. Jesus replied, have faith in God constantly. Have faith in God constantly. It doesn't matter how it looks. Doesn't matter what things look like. I believe that before I go home to see the Lord, I am going to run around this building jumping and shouting. However, and this is not a doubt, so don't take this way. If somebody needs to see me with this cane, if somebody needs to see me struggle to come up those stairs, to help them see the Lord, use it, baby. Use it, Lord. If somebody needs to see me being faithful in spite of my handicap, I am okay with that because I don't serve the God of me, myself, and I. I serve the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not about me. Verse 23 says, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance to God's will. That means you can't take that scripture and try to twist it and say, come on, God, give me $1 million. Give me $1 million, God. Give me $1 million. Come on, God, give me $1 million right now. Give it to me. Not going to work. And you're going to look really stupid like I just did. Okay, verse 24. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer in accordance with his will, believe with confident trust that you have received them. There's a key word in there. You have received them. That means when you pray, you already believe that you've received. They will be given to you. Notice that again, that last line. Believe with confident trust that you have received them, and they will be given to you. So you're believing you've already received it, so it's coming. In God's will, in God's timing. It may be a couple of years from now. It may be 40 years like Moses. It may be 100 years like Noah, but it is coming. Now, I want to caution you to watch out for this really bad cuss word. It is a really bad cuss word to your faith. It is spelled T-R-Y. Try. Well, Pastor, I'm going to try to read the Bible, but. Well, particularly when you put try with the word but. Besides from being funny, you've already defeated yourself before you even try. Because you've already made a way of failure. You're basically what you're saying is, I don't really believe I can do this, but I'm just going to go through the motions because you say it will work. But at the end of the day, I know it's not going to work, but at least I can say I went through the motions. No. You just do. What's Nike? Just do it. Don't try. Just do it. I will eat better. Just do it. I'm not going to try not to drink Mountain Dew. Really? One day I'm just not going to drink it. That's not fair, God. Trying will trip you up. Trying means you've already allowed doubt to tell you that you will fail. Romans 12 and 2 tells us we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. What that's basically telling us is that as we get into the Word, as we read the Word, as we become familiar with the characteristics of God, as we start seeing what God thinks like, how he acts, how he moves, the rhythm of our faith, that it changes our thinking. And the things we used to lust after don't appeal to us anymore. I was a drinker. I was a drinker for 5 years, from age 25 to age 30. I didn't really need much of an excuse to go drinking. Hey, it was a great day at work. Let's go have a drink. Man, the day stunk. Let's go have a drink. What are you doing after work? Going to have a drink with you. What's going on this weekend? Going to have a drink. And then at 30, I found God again. For real. For real that time. I found him when I was a child, but it wasn't really for real because I didn't really know that Jesus was the Son of God. I wasn't taught that when I was a child. Jesus was this mythical figure, but and the Holy Ghost, that was what the mothers on the front row, like Miss Jenny, she would have, if Miss Jenny was in the church that I grew up in, she'd have a big hat on, and then she'd get up, and then she'd start dancing over there, and the ushers would come and stand around her in a circle, and they would fan her until she got tired. And then she'd sit down, and then service would go on. That's all I knew. But at 30, I was introduced to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I went out one day, and I had a drink, and it didn't feel right anymore. Now, I know some people have to go through 12 steps, and I know, I'm not knocking any of that. For me, it was instantaneous. That was 1992. I went through a one-month period in 1996 where I tried to go back to that lifestyle, and every single drink that I liked, I couldn't stand the taste of it anymore. So for me, again, I'm just speaking of me because I got the mic. It was an easy transition. But I was transformed because when I got the word in me, it didn't appeal to me anymore, nor did the lifestyle of that came along with it didn't appeal to me. When I came here and Milton introduced me to House of Power, and he told me that if you're in leadership, Pastor Tory, at the time, would say, ask you not to watch R-rated movies. Now, I am, or was, the king of the R-rated movie, because I thought at least 100 people needed to die in every movie for it to be a really good movie. I thought Clint Eastwood had the best movies at all, because everybody died in Clint Eastwood movies. I thought it was great. What's the point of going to a movie if people aren't dying in it? That's where I was. And when I came here and Pastor Tory asked me to lead the men, I was like, okay, that means I can't watch R-rated movies anymore. So I came up with this plan. This is the Me, Myself, and I plan. When they come on TNT in 2 years, it'll have all the cuss words and all the sex and stuff taken out of it, and I'll be able to watch the movie. Okay, I came here in 2007. Do you know how many movies I've watched on TNT that were R-rated movies that I really wanted to see since 2007? Because you know what? By 2 years, when the movie comes out, I don't care anymore. I'll see it come crawl across the screen. Hey, showing tonight, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to watch Barnwood Builders on the DIY channel. I don't care about that stuff anymore. My heart was transformed. After you hear the word, you need to start releasing it. Now, again, using Mama Rita, to release means to speak or act on the word that you hear. I misquoted that. Speak and act. Say it and then do it. What you confess depends upon how much word you will have working in you. If your word tank is empty, you're not going to be confessing much word. If your cuss tank is full, that's all I'm going to say about that. Okay. So, when you hear, you believe. When you speak, you receive. And then the key part is you act like you already have it. Some of you out there are believing for God to do some awesome things. And there's nothing wrong with that. But are you praising God like you already have it? As a friend of mine would go, my singles that are believing for a spouse, Are you praising God like you already have? And I need to turn because I don't want to look at somebody's face right now, but because I know they're going to say no. Are you believing for a car, a good car, you know, one that has actually four wheels that actually roll and has air conditioning? Are you praising God like you already have it? I'll never forget when I first came here, Pastor Tori said that when he had the used car, he would wash it as if it was brand new. And he would clean it out as if it was brand new. I never forgot that. So when we got our previous car, I started making sure that I took it to the car wash all the time and vacuumed it the best I could. And then Miss Pamela started picking in and she would vacuum it on the inside and I'd take it through the car wash. So now when we got our new car out there a couple years ago, I made sure that I took it through because I took care of the old one, so now I'm gonna make sure I take care of the new one. So when I found out that they had a $30 a month unlimited car wash, and I figured out that twice a month would take care of 30, and I could go as many times as I wanted to, I've been a couple of times in one day because there was a speck of dirt on my rear bumper. Now, why am I telling you that? I don't know. No, seriously. I'm telling you that because that same thought process about keeping your car shiny, that's how we need to be about our faith. Keeping it washed. Keeping it flowing in the Word. Again, getting in the rhythm of our faith. Okay, one more scripture, and I promise we're done because I know we're almost out of time. So, background on this scripture is there's a father who has a possessed child. That could be any one of us, because some of our children act like they're possessed sometimes. Okay, maybe just mine, and they're adults. So he took his possessed child to the disciples and said, "Help me." And the disciples was like, I don't know what to do. So they couldn't help him. So he was like, well, you know what? I'll find somebody who will. So he took him to Jesus, and he begins to go into great detail about the symptoms this child has, scratching, gnawing, so forth, so on, and he asked Jesus for help. Now, in Mark 9, verse 23 in the God's Word translation, Jesus' reply to him was, as far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes. As far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes. Everything is possible for us who believe. So then in verse 24, the father cries out and says, I believe. Now help my lack of faith. See, there's a boldness that comes when you're walking in faith. You start to believe crazy stuff. You start to believe that even though the doctor says things are one way, it's going to be another. You start to believe that just because Big Mom and them and Mom and them did something doesn't mean that you have to do that. You start to believe that just because you don't have a college education, you can't have a manager's job or a VP job. You start to believe that just because you're making $9 an hour at Burger King, you can't have nice things. But when you have faith, anything is possible. I'm a team lead at my job. I don't have a degree. I have one semester of college that I failed miserably at. Not because I wasn't smart enough. Not because I wasn't book smart enough. I just didn't have the common sense to go to class. It's crazy that they expect you to go to class. I'm 19 years old and I'm first time out of the house. And you expect me to go to class? Really? But I digress. But there's a boldness that comes from walking by faith that also leads you to confidence and peace. You will believe the things the world says are impossible. Again, as I said earlier, quite honestly, people will look at you like you're crazy. My sister thinks I'm crazy because I believe in this God stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm the one who's sane. I'm the one who has joy, and you're the one that's shaking your fist at the moon at night, but I'm the one that's crazy. You don't get thrown around by thoughts of failure. You'll understand that even when obstacles come, but God. Oh, but I have the flu, but God. Oh, but I ran out of money, but God. Oh, I'm tired of being alone, but God. Oh, but my marriage isn't going very well, but God. Oh, but my children are acting up, but God. You'll stand on the foundation of God's best. Jeremiah 29:11. God knows the plans that he has for us. So what I said here was, your faith and your hope are standing on the fact that God the Father, the creator of the universe, has plans for you to prosper and give you a future. So that means you prosper now, and he has a future for you later. So we are going to live. We, all the uses. That's the only Italian I know, uses. We're going to live like God is who he says he is. And we're going to live like the word of God is true. So that means when you walk out of here today, if you've had doubt in your mind, kick that bad boy out the door. But God, my faith says that whatever obstacle is coming against me, but God. If my thinking is stinking, but God. My heart is heavy, but God. My heart is broken, but God. Things aren't working out, but God. Because God's word, if you go to the last word of Revelation, we win. We win. We get eternity in heaven, and we get to live like heaven on earth. All right, let's bow our heads.